Welcome to BFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and you're listening to BFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. To be the light of the world is what he called us to be. Joining me in today's program to be able to lighten your day, lighten your moments, enlighten your thoughts, enlighten your load, is the producer of BFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Join us also is the man behind the scenes, the man who kind of connects the dots and put these digital details together, Chris.
Hello.
We'll give a shout out to John on his journey. He's in Texas as we speak now. Moving on to New Jersey. Got to pray safe travels. Give a shout out to our listeners. Shout out to Joanne this morning at the NYC. In the hospital there. Just an awesome thing that you're doing. We have a shout-out also to Gina in Houston. We love you. Your words are encouraging, inspiring. Kechara, Klein, Texas. Oh, my goodness. The Lord is so using you. Give a shout-out to Brett and Sharon in Denver, actually Aurora, Colorado. It's exciting what God's doing, and we're trying not to envy the view you have of the mountains and your new blessing weather. Shout out to South Florida, to Lakeland. The deer are running. It's just a stop in between. Give a shout out to all those in the Gulf Coast. God has plans in store for the Emerald Coast region. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Today we're going to be talking about the fear of God and how we can reinstill it back into our lives again. Also about a move of God. Did you know the move of God is inside of you and you have to release that move of God, that faith that God's given you? Also, we're going to talk about who's the greatest in the kingdom of God. So many people are trying to be great, doing so many things, trying to be great. It's amazing. It's almost embarrassing, but they don't know it. But we're going to find out what Jesus said about how to be great in the kingdom of God. Also, if we get a chance, we're going to talk about an extra hour possibly. What's the point? We got to have a point to this. We got to have a point to this in the original intent. We're only holding you to what's written on the paper. Nothing less, nothing more. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And Chris.
Hello.
Man, yesterday's segment, you missed yesterday, you got to catch it. It's just, it's so stirring your faith. I was listening at VFN TV when I was listening to how God unfolded his voice and how he's speaking. And I was sitting on the edge of my seat watching this Sunday, the broadcast that went out. I'm like, oh my goodness, that's just so powerful because you know, the God of the Bible is the God of today. And it's exciting. You don't need to bungee jump. Just have faith in God. We talked about yesterday that, you know, faith is getting to the edge of the light you have and taking one more step. Listen, that one more step, it's like stepping out when I jumped out of a perfectly good airplane once.
Perfectly good.
Perfectly good airplane. And at 10,000 feet, maybe?
14,000, wasn't it?
Oh, 14. They all look the same.
Yeah.
It all looks like broccoli.
You're still specs.
It like specks and broccoli. The Gulf of Mexico looked like a pond. That's how small it was. Amazing. And trees look like broccoli. And everything inside of your brain says very smart things like, what are you doing? This is...
Stay in the plane.
Stay in the plane. Don't take this step outside. There's nothing out there except the whole earth that you'll kind of plummet to. And, you know, with a little encouragement, he pushed me out.
You had no choice.
I had no choice. I was strapped to one of the Robinson Dynasty people.
Yeah, he looks like.
Can you imagine that? That's exactly what it was. Like Psy. Woohoo! Or their dad, you know.
Yeah.
So the, and it was amazing that when you take that step, and that's the best way to describe it, or the 747. You remember the 747 that you jumped out of or off of?
Yeah.
You know, it was 40 feet up and 7 feet out was a trapeze bar. And
I think they moved it further, though.
Well, they moved it closer for you. Remember that was like, because you had to be able to reach it. They were, it was a 40-foot telephone pole. Mm-hmm. You got to hear this. No, you're talking about me jumping out of an airplane. You climbed up on top of a 40-foot telephone pole that had nothing bracing. It was buried in the ground. And at the top of it was a 2x6.
It wasn't even that big. It was like a 12x12 square.
A 12x12 square, yeah. And it was nailed to the top of it. And so you had to somehow, when you got to the top of the pole, you had to somehow get your body to just like
stand up,
which means you're not going to hold on to anything. And a 40-foot telephone pole tends to sway in the wind without telephone lines holding on to it, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's a reason why they put those wires on each telephone pole that you see out around all your probably your properties and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's because they sway. They sway. And you remember standing on top of that?
I remember attempting to stand on it.
You know how the football games and baseball games, the audience in the stadiums do the wave, like somebody just jumps up and they throw their hands in the air, then they sit down, the next one does it. It's like a wave going across there. Mm-hmm. That's what it was like from my toes to my heel. It was like doing the wave. It was like, my feet are not functioning right. When I finally made it to the top. And the thing was, what, like 2 feet out or something, the trapeze? We had to jump off of that.
They must have moved it in for you.
That, no, actually. Didn't I make it? I made it.
I don't know. I think you guys did it a different day.
Did I? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Then I made it.
I didn't get to witness it.
You didn't get to witness it. And you jump off of it, and there's a trapeze about 7 feet out hanging off of a wire.
Something.
It's like a wire.
Piece of string.
Of course, we're in ministry, so we're used to that. It was a big deal, you know. Camping trip, 747s, airplanes, all the same. Mm-hmm. And you jump off of this swaying pole that you're supposed to really squat and jump at the right swing to be able to make it to it. It takes everything you got to make it to this thing. Mm-hmm. If you can't just kind of halfway jump, you got to just do everything. And even little old Bruce was able to do it, you know. But he would just squat low.
Yeah.
And just spring them little legs out.
That was a mistake I made. I didn't squat low enough.
Yeah. It's dangerous to squat on the top of a telephone pole. And you jump out and you grab hold of this trapeze. And they got you on belay, supposedly. You remember the dentist? Uh-huh. You remember the dentist that belay, of course, is a rope they tie to your harness, and if you're climbing, if you fall, there's a, you know, 14-year-old kid holding the bottom of it. Yeah. And they catch you. The dentist was climbing up there.
Uh-huh.
And they had some wood chips, you know, down there in case you fell. Like two or three wood chips. It was like, and he made it about 20 foot at the pole, and which is only halfway, and he fell. And the belay wasn't, I'm saying that word right, but the person holding the rope wasn't paying attention. And so he had too much slack in it, enough slack for him to reach the 3 wood chips.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and the dentist bounces.
Oh, my God.
But if it wasn't for his pride, you know, he's like, he hit the ground, jumped up on his feet, about like you did when you were in that chair at the time. He was back on his feet. He's like, it's good. It's like that commercial, right? What's that commercial that says? Guy gets electrocuted. He goes, I'm good. It's good. And he started climbing back up the pole again. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. That's what faith is like. That's what things like that are very good, because it helps you get past your mind. Your mind is holding you back. Your mind is supposed to submit to the ways of God and the word of God. You're not supposed to submit to your mind. As I was saying yesterday, you can feel when somebody's going in their mind, it literally just draws everything in the room. I mean, if you're a person who operates by faith, you can just feel this black hole abyss forming when somebody starts going to the inner parts of their region of their brain. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, the power of thought, you know, the ability just to think those thoughts. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, the word of God says over and over again, knowing their thoughts, he said, because he could just feel their thoughts. And it's kind of freaky when you realize that people know your thoughts. And it's like, wow. But, you know, when you walk, God will reveal things to you. And just because you know things don't mean you should say things, right?
This is true.
And but think about this. A mind that's submitted to the ways of God, how powerful is that? Because then you're going to think on the good things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are. And when we're struggling with our mind, we're actually thinking on the things that are, that nullify the things that would be if we would let go of the things that are.
Mm.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
Because we walk by faith and not by sight. When God begins to say he's going to heal someone, he says he's going to he's talking, you're talking about somebody who's not presently healed.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to see them healed.
Mm-hmm.
You have to see them healed. And so you have to begin to just shut down your mind. It doesn't matter what you're actually, what your mind says or what the doctor says. And there's nothing like comforting family members. Remember, this thing has always ran in the family. And I was like, thank you. I appreciate you locking your faith in with me on that. Could you please leave until I'm healed?
Mm-hmm.
This is what Jesus said. Could y'all clear the room? Clear the room. We just want people around that agrees. John G. Lake would clear the room. He would have everybody out of the room that didn't believe. And he even took a corpse, a dead body once, and threw it against the wall.
Okay.
I had to have help. Throw that body against the wall. And said, lift. And that person was dead and came alive. The spirit just came right into that body.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Wow. That, believe me, the person that was dead wasn't complaining.
No.
It's just a religious folk.
I'm sure.
I guess. I don't know. And he moved in authority.
Mm-hmm.
And your mind would say, don't do this. I mean, when the things that God's going to do and is doing and has shown me that he's going to do, you got to get out of your mind, because your mind will cause you to literally run away from the power and the anointing of God. You'll start thinking. And it's like, you know, think about it. Think how limited your thoughts are. I mean, you don't even understand calculus. You know, you don't understand logarithms. Well, logarithms are, let me explain to you. No, right. We don't understand computers. You know, people go, they're just so complicated. And they are, but it just boils down to just two numbers, a zero and a one.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. And what computers do, I remember Bill Gates explaining, not Bill Gates, but Apple founder explaining the... Okay, he's gone already. All we know is his product.
It's vanished.
Steve Jobs?
Yeah, Steve Jobs.
Oh, very good.
Steve Jobs. He was trying to explain to back in the 70s or 80s about computers, because it was such a new thing. Mm-hmm. And he says that if you ask somebody to go back there, say, I want you to get up and I want you to go back and pick up a piece of paper and come back in here. Well, that's a real easy task. But the thing is, you have to wait for the person to get up and communicate to them and go back and pick a piece of paper up. But imagine now that you could just push a button that would do that simple thing. It would go pick a piece of paper up and come back. Something like that. He's giving an example.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens just instantly. And it's not a complicated thing. It's just things that would take a long time for everybody to do. It would happen quickly. Now imagine being able to do that a million times that quick.
Mm-hmm.
So it's taking a simple thing and it's doing it rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
And so why wrap our brains around it? Why not just sit in front of a keyboard and type up your letter and push print? You know what I'm saying? Or just listen to VFN radio or download your app. Why try to wrap your brain around that? Why not just say, you know, God, you said you can do this. You can heal. You can deliver. You can set free. That you've given us the keys to the kingdom of God, and that you called us to advance your kingdom. And it advances by force. Force because we are freeing up by your name those that are held captive by the hordes of hell, switching from the armies of darkness to the armies of light. And there's nobody more powerful for God than somebody who was once powerful for darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all they knew. That's all they knew. When they find out that God loves them and God will forgive them and restore them and even use them and adopt them in the family, those are pumped individuals. Think about Steve Hill.
Yeah.
You know, Steve Hill is just a huge conversion of, you know, he was the one that would be stealing your car battery while you're in church.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was in prison, in jail, when he was led to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And he was led to by a vicar in northern Alabama to the Lord, and who was shaking and trembling, thinking himself, like, you know, how do you lead people to Jesus? And but he's done all these things for God, just given his life for him. People that think too much are just, they're just like, well, you know, that doesn't fit and that doesn't work and I'd have to get another job and I like this particular place and I got a lot of friends here. It's like, what are you doing? You're thinking too much. God rewards faith. And faith is just taking that step like Pat did off the 747. Even if you miss like him or you get it like me, that... It's exciting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting. I mean, Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water, but he started sinking. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And everybody else can evaluate how he did it. But the truth is, he did it. And we're talking about it today, and we don't even know the names of the ones in the boat. I mean, we can kind of figure it out.
All right.
But we talked more about Peter and Jesus than we did about the people on the boat. Mm-hmm. And he just reached his hand out. And that's what it is. When you walk by faith, God's going to be there. You know, step out in bold faith, and God will meet you every time when he's called you to do something. What he's called us to do is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So I encourage you today, as you're going about your day, you know, begin to just see people healed, begin to see people delivered, see yourself operating in the gifts of God. Because God, Jesus said, these signs will follow you, those that believe in my name. And then he just lists all the things in the power of God would happen. And he says, and I will do this confirming my word, which means you need to be an abider. You know, he's not going to confirm your word, but he'll confirm his word.
Mm-hmm.
And showing that it's him. But it's just, it's time for the church to rise up, everybody that calls himself a believer. And he says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And we're seeing young people prophesy. We're seeing young and old have dreams and visions. We're seeing people healed and delivered. And we're seeing God orchestrate things across the whole country. It's so cool because since we all serve Jesus, and when you abide with Jesus, and all of a sudden he has a plan that he wants to do something, when you get together, everybody just starts saying, that's what he just told me to.
Mm-hmm.
He just told me. Oh, my goodness. And God just begins to do whatever he wants to do. And it's so exciting. It beats, you know, bungee jumping. I just saw a daredevil, maybe in Brazil or something, that was trying to do something really daredevilish. Everybody knew him. I don't mm-hmm. know his name. But he ended up, he was trying to, I think, by his ponytail or something, was trying to what do you call that when you hook yourself to a wire and you just zip line?
Oh,
so it looked something like that, but it was more like slow zip. It hardly ever moved, and he ended up hanging himself on that wire, and he died right in front of everybody. Where everybody's cheering him on, they didn't realize he was choking to death, and he hung himself unintentionally in front of all these people. You know, and it's like, why would anybody go through those extents to have that adrenaline and all that? Just listen, serve God. Listen, you'll have Pharisees biting at your heels. You'll have people wanting to throw you in pits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll have pharaohs wanting to destroy you. You'll have the earth splitting. You'll have fire coming down. You know, you'll be running from cave to cave at times. It's exciting stuff. You know, and all of a sudden God will just show up in the still small voice and take you to this next season of your life, and you'll bump into other people who hear God as well, and y'all both are having this conversation, and you spend eternity talking about this little vapor of time that we have here, that we did invest it, we did do something with what he entrusted to us. Jesus said this. He said there was a master who gave out certain talents to his people, and to one he gave, you know, one he gave two, I think one he gave five.
Mm-hmm.
And he left and he came back and he's asking, you know, what did you do with what I've given you? What did you do with what I've given you? And the first one said, you know, the one with five goes out and he said he's invested it and he's got five more. And he's going, well done, that good and faithful servant. And the two went out and got two more and he said, well done, that good and faithful servant. So he had four. But the one says, I'm an American. I was scared that I might lose my 401k.
Mm.
I was fearful of telling somebody about you, you know, so I didn't want to lose what you gave me. So I never used it. I never told anybody about you. I never sang a song. I never prophesied.
Mm.
I never laid hands on the sick. I never told anybody that I was a believer. I just buried it. This is what he said. He said, I was afraid. I know what you paid for this. And I was afraid. So I buried it. And he said, you wicked and lazy servant.
Mm.
He says, give what you got to these other ones who invested it, who took that step of faith, who went to the light they had and took one more step, who jumped off, quote, that 747 experience, jumped out of the plane with a parachute, obviously, but willing to do outside of your thought life and say, I'm going to be in my faith life and I'm going to trust God and watch God begin to move and show himself glory. And he says, so the one that has will be given more, but the ones who don't have, even what he does have, even the little bit he gave you, he's even going to take that away. And he says, away from me, you wicked and lazy servant. Go to where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is not a good idea, just to walk in faith and to operate and invest what God's given you. It's a command, an expectation of God. Let's do it today. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
We have a law society for undergrad students who are in the legal studies program. Jay, I need to know something regarding a Christian law society, and what will we need to do to go about it, or is there like a national charter?
Well, actually, there is. The Christian Legal Society has student campuses on almost every campus in the country, and I would encourage you to look at that as a possible option, and they've got some great programs and great resources, and I would encourage you to do that. So just go to cls.org, but it's the Christian Legal Society, and they've got great information. It's important to have Christian fellowship groups, and they're allowed to meet just like they can on a college campus, on any other club meeting, or a high school campus. They're allowed to meet, discuss legal issues, and whatever it might be, and the Christian Legal Society would be a good place for you to look at.
Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
There comes a point in time when God begins to call his people to himself. He begins to call out to our hearts, call out as deep calls into deep. He begins to lure us to himself and speak to us and reaffirm us. And sometimes he just says, listen, I'll just forget all that. I'll forgive all that. Just come back. Let's reboot. Let's go back to the cross. Let's go back to your first love. Listen, God, even though the condition of where we are right now in America, where the condition of the world is, and it's not good, I mean, God's still calling himself a people. He's calling out. The question is, will you respond? It's to you. It's not to the person on your left. It's not to the person on your right. You know, if what you're doing is not what God says to do, wouldn't you ask yourself, what then should I do? Right. What does God's word tell me to do? I mean, you've got to be, I mean, think about Steve Hill. You think about Steve Hill. He just wanted God desperately. I think about, you know, Brother John Kilpatrick, when he said, when God began to pour himself out on Father's Day of 1995, even prior to that or during, he says, listen, I don't care where God is moving. Wherever he's moving, that's where I'm going to be. We have to become that desperate. As a matter of fact, Steve Hill right now begins to talk about the condition of America, and I'll be right back.
This is what I'll come do, okay? And I want to talk about a move of God, revival, just for a few minutes. And our nation right now is in terrible shape. Our nation needs something besides religion. And religion is hanging around the cross. Christianity is getting on the cross. Okay? Religion is, and America right now is hanging around the cross. Okay? The cross has benefits. Okay? There's great benefits to Christianity. But Jesus got on it. And he talked to his disciples about getting on it. And so revival to me is a little bit more, there's a little bit more sacrifice involved in it.
And it's exactly what you think about it, that is what it takes. And he proved it with his life. He proved it by saying, you know, I'm desperate for God. I'm willing to get on the cross. God has called us to pick up our cross and follow him. Follow him. And what we do, we're together because we're following him. I mean, he's what we have in common. If you're ready to follow him, if that's you, if you don't want to see this nation just go by the wayside, you don't want to see it just set aside. You know, God is looking for a people. Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Maybe, just maybe, the VFN family's for you. Or someone that is moving in the context of what God is doing in this day as well, across the earth. Check it out, vfnfamily.org, where we're not just talking about it, we're doing it. vfnfamily.org.
If you've ever looked at the church and have thought to yourself, these people are just way too perfect for me to come around them, then you know what? You and I are a lot alike. That was my story. I thought everyone in the church was just perfect, and I was the only one with issues. But guess what? Everyone that comes to Jesus has a background. We don't come to Jesus because we're perfect. We come to Jesus because we need a Savior. And, you know, I was at that place. I was at that place where things weren't going right in my life. I was away from God. I was in sin. I was chasing after the world, trying to find an identity, trying to find myself. And the more I kept looking for myself, the more I went deeper and deeper into sin. But then I had an encounter. I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happened, everything changed. Yeah, my life wasn't perfect, but I met the one who is perfect. And with that, I'm absolutely okay. I want to encourage you to read my story. You can read other stories of people that were not perfect, but people who met the perfect one. Mm-hmm. You can go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and Chris. Pat, the fear of the Lord, man. The fear of the Lord. In just a moment, we're going to be hearing a segment about the fear of the Lord. But, you know, what's God speaking to you about the fear of God?
That's very important. Mm. Very important. It's a good sign of where you are personally with your walk with Him. In regards to your love for Him and your obedience to Him and where you are relationally. I mean, it's just when you're walking in the fear of the Lord, you know, you're careful about everything you do, everything you say, what you're thinking, what you're touching, what you're everything. It's just every, you know, it's, you know, everything.
Because you're aware His eyes are on you.
Exactly.
Not that they weren't before, but there was no fear.
Now there's this.
Awareness,
that's the word I'm looking for. And there's consequences when you don't have that fear of the Lord. I just got through reading a part in this book I'm reading with Jim Baker when John Bevere went and visited him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was still in prison at the time when this happened.
He was later released and the charges were dropped.
Mm-hmm. And Jim came to the realization that he had no fear of God. And obviously there was consequences because that's how he ended up where he was. But then, you know, once he got released, you know, he says he knew that if he had kept on the path he was going, regardless of all the signs and wonders and all the ministry and all that stuff, he knew he was going to hell.
Right.
So it was a huge wake-up call. This is Jim Baker.
Praise the Lord, UTL fan club and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which has been redeemed
by
Morningstar Ministries.
Mm-hmm.
When I can't imagine David, King David, not having a fear of God,
right?
You know, but you had Saul, King Saul, he had a fear of man, but not a fear of God.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the two and compare them, that it's not that either one of them were perfect, it's they dealt with their insecurities and inadequacies differently, or their sin differently, where Saul would just build bigger edifices and bigger statues to himself, and he would take over things he shouldn't have taken over and do things he shouldn't do, trying to preserve himself and protect himself. He feared everything. And he was even shaking behind the luggage when he was made king. You know, his knees were knocking. But David would fear the Lord, and you would hear him. You can just see, he's just like, he says, you know, against you and you only have I sinned, God, before your eyes. Lord, you see, and he's constantly having this awareness of God. And he just understood, don't lay your hands on God's anointed, because it's God's anointed. Mm-hmm. Not that Saul didn't deserve his hands laid on him. He knew that God had anointed him as king, therefore, because he had a fear of the Lord. And it's amazing, I mean, but we all can use more, I guess, the fear of the Lord. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you're like, is there any fear of the Lord? And that's what, you know, this is, you got to hear this. These are a group of ministers that are talking about how the church has lost the fear of the Lord. Listen up. Holy desperation.
God. Man, will I
tremble at your word.
Let us tremble this morning.
If ever there was a time that you and I fully embraced the heart of God and the will of God and the ways of God and the word of God, oh, beloved, it's now. There was a time in this country when I'm sure you would walk in the house of the Lord, and if you were living in willful sin, you would tremble. In awe, there was a reverence of God. There was a sense of God's holiness.
There's very little of the fear of God among today's Christians.
And I want to tell you, God is no grandfather. He's not one who just ignores anything you do, like grandfathers do. What did we read in 1 Peter 1? Spend your entire life on earth. This is not Old Testament, this is New Testament. This is the Apostle Peter writing 30 years after the day of Pentecost. Spend your entire life on earth in fear. The same word. I'm supposed to live my entire life on earth, 1 Peter 1:17, in fear. In fear of what? Fear of God.
1 Peter 1:17, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's works, then conduct yourselves in fear during this time of your stay on earth.
But there was a trembling. There was a time in this country when you walked in the house of God and you knew if you were living in sin, you were going to be confronted.
Paul speaks in Romans 11 about the severity and the goodness of God. In what connection? In his dealing with this ancient people. There's no fear in the church for God. The fear of God is absent from the church, and that's why we take the horrendous liberties that we do. For how shall we fear him if we have not known his severity, his judgments, his dealings, how far he will go, even with his own ancient people who are yet the apple of his eye despite their fallenness.
Even in the church, we've lost our sense of the holiness of God. You know, Charles Wesley gave us that lovely children's hymn, Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon the little child. But you know, some people never get past Gentle Jesus.
He's lost the fear of God. There's no fear of God left in the land. This is what the Bible says. The fear of the Lord, fear the Lord and depart from evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from their evil. From the fear of the Lord.
A reverent fear of God, which brings freedom. And it's because many Christians do not have that reverent fear of God that they don't come into freedom.
Call it what you want, reverential awe. Call it what you want. But there's such a thing as remember that God is not mocked. There's such a thing as looking at the majesty and holiness of God.
But a one-sided Christianity, which always spoke about, always be sure you're accepted before God. God loves you, brother. Don't be. Remember, God loves you just as you are. His love is unconditional. It's all true. But if you only look at that, you've got one side of God, and you've got a one-sided God, and you'll see the end result of that, the way you live. The other is the fear that I may hurt God.
There is no awe, no sense of fear, no deep respect that he's a living God and a seeing and a knowing God. And we can't get away with our little gitchy goo and cutting corners as if he does not observe it.
It's a very different picture in the Word of God. I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ needs a new revelation of the majesty of God.
The remarkable thing is, he lets it go on, and he's silent, and we assume that either he has condoned it or he's not seen it until the day comes.
Genesis 20, verse 10. And Abraham said, verse 11, because I thought surely there is no fear of God in this place and they will kill me because of my wife. There is no fear of God. These fellows are sexually, you know, polluted. And it's interesting that the first time the Holy Spirit uses the phrase the fear of God is in relation to sexual sin. And as I meditated on it, the Lord showed me that it is through sexual temptation more than in any other area that I test whether men especially fear me or not.
You will one day stand before that throne, and you will be judged before that throne in perfect righteousness.
We're not like Paul, who always lived in the conscious sense of the judge and the day of judgment, and that we shall be held accountable for every idle word that we speak, and that all that we have done in our bodies, both good and bad, will one day come before us when we stand before the judgment of God.
Folks, what's it going to be like? And I've tried to imagine this. What is it going to be like when we stand before the throne? Every pastor, every evangelist, when I stand there, everyone in this pulpit stands there, and everyone who's ever taken the gospel to their lips. And we stand before a holy Christ, and the books are opened. I can't bear the thought that I would have preached for 20 years here in New York City from this pulpit, and that to keep the money flowing, or to keep the crowds coming and every seat filled, that I should give a half gospel or dilute it so I won't offend you.
In Jeremiah's day, the false prophets had the biggest crowds. The true prophet could hardly get folks together. In Jeremiah's day, the thing that was so heavy on his heart was the false prophets told the people what they wanted to hear, and the people naturally flocked. And when he would start to prophesy the true word of the Lord, the people said, would you get this guy to shut up? Could somebody take care of this guy? We don't want to hear this anymore.
And you see, if you have no fear of God, you have to invent a gospel of convenience.
There's all kinds of phony people now, of huge followings. You just turn on some of the Christian television, it's enough to make you sick. And they got people writing checks all over the whole country for them. And they're not even close. But because of the biblical illiteracy among the people, they don't know the genuine from the false, because only through knowing God's word are we going to know what's true. Amen?
And this is what's happened in America and around the world. You see, man can't get away from that nagging sense. And that's the Holy Spirit who says there's death and then there's judgment. There's a day of standing before God to give an account. And the Bible makes it very, very clear. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And there's a day we're going to have to give an account. And there's a hell. And Jesus said there's a hell of fire. And weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. A darkness that can be felt.
A lot of us share God's word here and there. Paul says how he preached. He says in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 3, when I came preaching to you, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in trembling. Preaching with fear and trembling? Where do we hear of that today? People who preach afraid lest they may say something God doesn't want them to say.
I've heard so many preachers say God doesn't throw anybody into hell. My dear friend, he does. Jesus told us that he does. Fear him who not only can kill the body, but afterwards take your body and your soul and throw you in hell. It is God who throws in hell. You say, well, I just don't like this kind of Christianity. I'm sorry, it's the only one that you've got.
It's the word of God. This is the, when you think about how 81% of professing Christians aren't reading the word, how do you know what God expects? And his expectation is a fear of him, a fear of the Lord. There was a day in the church that people feared coming amongst them. When there's a fear of the Lord present in your gathering, in your life, people just don't do things around you. They don't do things in your presence. I mean, we've seen, You know, because God will, his presence will dwell where there is a fear of the Lord there. And he deals with those whose heart are not right, who bring that sin. You know, and then when you think about it, when the fear, with fear and trembling needs to be present in our life, everything, you know, just like you were saying, Pat, and that, mm-hmm. and what they were saying, when Ananias and Sapphira fell dead, it says that the fear of the Lord spread and the church grew.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, the best kingdom advancing, church growing method you could ever have is to get a fear of God in mm-hmm. your life. Now, you can grow all kinds of religious things
mm-hmm.
with tickling your teachings and, you know, selling people salvation and promoting a program.
Right.
But when you begin to teach the fear of God, the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah.
So often tragedy would happen to someone in open sin or to a nation in open sin, and the fear of the Lord would spread, and the church would repent, and the church would grow. I mean, Paul, like he said, would preach with fear and trembling. Some things people do and say, you're thinking like, you have no idea the eyes of the Lord are upon you.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says, well, I wouldn't take that for that particular person. It's like, I'm not even thinking about that particular person. I'm thinking about God's eyes on me
right
now. I need to respond in the fear of the Lord. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Don't look to America right now for the fear of the Lord. Look to the Word of God. Look to men and women who love God and are going after Him, who abide with Him, they don't need fences in their life because they have fear, a fear of the Lord. And I think it's really good to have fences around children, you know, who can't control themselves, who have no fear because they're going to get destroyed, get killed.
Right.
You know, and, but it's time. If we want this nation to turn around, if we want a move of God, if we want to see God move amongst the nation the way we're seeing Him move in pockets of the nation, it's going to require us to do the very first thing. Wisdom begins with a fear of the Lord. It's time for fear and trembling to come into our hearts again. Lord, strike our heart with a lightning and thunders that come from your throne room. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back.
Stress is a normal part of living, but it's unhealthy when it becomes a chronic part of everyday life. I'm Dr. Bill Meyer for Focus on the Family. Just like a boiling teapot needs a relief valve, we need a way to release the buildup of emotional pressure. One of the best ways to combat stress is to recognize what causes it in the first place. If your calendar shows you're in for a few heavy weeks or too many late nights, block out some time. Take yourself out of your normal situation and get some downtime before and after the crunch time. This could mean a day alone at the beach or the mountains, a day with your family, or a weekend away with your spouse. Also, it's good for couples to discuss their schedules together so they can identify potential points of overload. Make sure you're giving your family a break and slow down the hectic pace so everybody can recharge. For more family advice and encouragement, come to familyminute.org.
Isn't it so cool, all of our Facebook fans out here and our friends that are just connected and listening all around the world.
Right.
You know, if you haven't yet friended us or liked us, I guess they call it.
Right.
When you choose like on our Facebook, it just keeps all the posts. If there's a post made about what's an upcoming program, a highlight, something, it just shows up, I guess, on your Facebook.
Mm.
You can go to VFNTV.com and under areas to follow us, and you can just follow through our Facebook right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure can.
But it's just really cool. We want to say hello and a shout out to all of our Facebook friends that are out there. It's exciting how the message is going out and the feedback that we're getting. And we want to encourage you not only to go to our Facebook and like us, but once you've done that, you know, share some of these highlights and encourage your fellow brother, your sister, your family member, those people that are in your group of friends that are in your Facebook. So many people need to be encouraged. It's just really, really cool. Also, on your application, right there on your Android or your iPhone or your iPad, they're in the menu choice on the VFN TV app. You have our Facebook right there. You can click there, follow through, and like us.
Steve, Vine Fellowship Network University.
Wow.
I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Steve, I've had the chance to go to Bible school before.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It was good. You know, I learned a lot of information.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, Vine Fellowship Network University is about getting revelation.
Yeah.
It's about literally finding out about the pattern of God and God's revelation on his church.
Yeah.
You're going to be so impacted by the lessons learned. You're going to be so impacted by the prophetic words. You're going to be so impacted by fresh revelation that's going to take you to the next level. And it's not going to get you just about studying where the church has been, mm-hmm. but it's all about telling the world where the church is going.
That's right.
Be mm-hmm. prepared. Be a part of the harvest. Get involved. Get in the game. Stop looking at what others are doing and saying, you know what? I want to be prepared mm-hmm. for the end time harvest.
That's right.
Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org. Steve, oh my goodness. How many times you're trying to explain Vine Fellowship Network? And like, really, how do you explain
right.
this awesome revelation? Well, so many people are talking to me and they want to know more because they're so attracted to mm-hmm. being the church instead mm-hmm. of going to the church. Well, that's why we have Vine Seminars. Vine Seminars is an awesome opportunity how you can begin to start seeing this progressive revelation
right.
that has just been shared by God, how it's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be, but how it truly, truly is all about family and really fulfilling the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
I want to encourage you, get a chance and find out more at vineseminars.org.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and Chris. Now, this is an awesome word about the fear of the Lord. If you missed it, you know, Pat was just sharing as he's reading The Fear of the Lord by John Bevere and the Praise the Lord PTL founder, which is now under Morningstar Ministries, Jim Baker,
mm-hmm.
talking about how, you know, he wrote a book called I Was Wrong.
Yeah.
And was revealed like 33 things, as a matter of fact. We'd have made those available. We didn't make those available in the torch. Prophetic things while he was in a time of meditation. And all of them but one has come to pass so far. And the last one is nuclear material was found in Israel in the Kedron Valley or something.
Oh, wow.
And John Paul Jackson also has heard that as well. But Jim heard this, you know, before John Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's amazing, totally amazing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, people can be healed. People can be delivered. People can be set free. You can build things and do things and teach things, but there's no fear of the Lord. Sin is going to come in and just devour everything that you've done and destroy it. And the only thing you have left is a lying doctrine that says, it's still okay because we prayed.
mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, why don't just go back to the original intent? Go back to your first love. Have a fear of the Lord. Well, I do want to say this. Hopefully, I have time to be able to share this with you. You know, are you longing to have a move of God in your life? I mean, just all of a sudden, you know, you've been toting water. You've been doing all this hard work, going to the well, dipping your bucket in the well. You're cranking it up. And, yeah, you're having these experiences, but it's taken so much of
you to be able to do it. And a move of God is like a river. It's like a river that all of a sudden just begins to carry you, and God's doing it, and you're just getting into what he's doing. It's the river of God that is flowing from the throne of God. It's when God just all of a sudden decides he rewards or whatever reasons he has, which are all good, he just begins to gush the glory of God in like a river, a current that's just flowing through your life. And I just want to encourage you that in your faith, understand that it will happen because you have faith that it'll happen, that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He wants you to abide with him. He wants you to advance his kingdom. He wants a move of God in your life, not just for you, but through to go through you. And your faith, he wants this. He wants you to be whole. You think about it, and it's going to require your faith. The only thing that moves God, not hunger, not pain, not sickness, not poverty. If it did, look at all the opportunities to move in the earth. Somebody says, why would God allow this? Well, why don't they just have faith? Why don't you go preach the gospel to them? They have faith, and then God begins to respond in there.
Right.
It's like, oh, so he's not moving there because I'm not going there. Then I need to go there and preach the good news to them so that they have faith. And then God would, oh, I see. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. I was blaming God for my own refusal to obey him in the Great Commission. Got it. Okay, think about this. He said, you know, when the lady was healed from the issue of blood, she knew that if I just get to him and touch the hem of his garment, he turns around, he says, you know, your faith has made you whole. He didn't say, I made you whole. He didn't say that the disciples around made you whole. The doctrine made you whole. It was something inside of her. It was a measure of what God has given all of us. When she tapped into that and turned it towards God, her faith made her whole. It's your faith. It's your faith in God. That's why the devil beats you up with so many lies, so you won't step up and just trust God and believe him to use you like Charles Seymour was used. One man with bad vision, I think he had vision in one eye, rejected by anything and everything, cried out as he was renting a room in California that all of a sudden the Lord just honored that faith, and just suddenly an outpouring of God, which we refer to as Azusa Street, but it happened on Azusa Street. That's why we call it Azusa Street. And God began to move. We think about Amy Semple McPherson. We think about Mariah Etter. We think about Steve Hill. We think about Oral Roberts. Listen, it's about just going after God. Join with us in the beginning of the extra hour, because we are going to be talking about a move of God that's resting in you, waiting to get out of you, waiting to be stirred and other people to be touched and be turned to God because you busted through the crowds of doubt and unbelief and pharisaical bondage. And you say, you know what? I'm going to believe God in my generation. I'm going to believe him for a move. I'm going to believe him for everything he says. And it's going to be awesome. Stay tuned. The beginning of next extra hour so you can hear the rest of the move of God that's sitting inside of you. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.
To VFN Radio
every day, like clockwork. If I do miss the morning, guy, I love to see, I hear you guys bright and crisp in the morning, man. It's a fresh revelation, man, to hear you guys and to hear what, you know, the news behind the news. I love Brother Greg, man. You know, he's hilarious. You come in right there with him. I feel in my spirit that it's everybody should have an opportunity to really listen, even if it's just once, man. And
well, that's great. Let me ask you, what would you say? You know, what would you say to other people about VFN Radio? I mean, I know you listen to it all the time, but as far as, I mean, what's kind of the main thing that you get out of it?
Believe it or not, I get more knowledge and wisdom through listening to the VFN Radio. I can't explain it. It's something that I just don't see that anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get to hear the stuff that's happening behind all the political hoopla, because to me that's what it is, you know, it starts to wake you up. Your spirit wakens up even more. These prophetic words coming to light, you know.
Exactly. And that's what we're seeing. And that's what I love about what God is doing on the face of the earth and what he's doing through VFN Radio and the opportunities that we get to share. But I'm encouraged that you're listening, that you're getting plugged in, and that you're plugging in others.
Yeah.
You know, because we, you know, who knows how long we have left? I mean,
absolutely.
To use this medium for the glory of God and to connect people to the Lord, and get a fresh word. We always say that.
You're right. You know, I just said that today to somebody. I said, you know, we gotta live for God like He's coming tomorrow.
That's right.
Because if we're unprepared, then we're the ones that are going to be left behind. And there's no excuse. If you're serving him, then serve him all the way. Dive in head first. And just continue the journey, because it's an awesome journey. I mean, I look back and reflect on my life and what I've been through and how he saved me from death at 33. And how he's brought me all the way to where I'm at now. I'm like...
That's a beautiful journey,
You know, there's just no way that I could have done this on my own.
Well, one day we're definitely going to get your testimony for VFN Radio.
Oh, I would love to.
But thanks for coming on in, man. God bless you.
God bless you.
I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN torch. I don't know if you actually found out about our newsletter. We have a newsletter, and it's called The Torch. And what this is about, it's about sending you and our listeners who subscribe to it on a weekly basis or biweekly or monthly, whichever one you desire, just let us know, what happened during that week. So many things happen in our life. We get so busy, and sometimes we forget or we want to share with our friends. Well, you can sign up today. You can subscribe today for The Torch. The Torch is the newsletter for the VFN TV and the Daily Radio program that we send out to you in your email. An update. What happened that week? What happened with some of the segments that happened on VFN Radio? What were some of the things that were loosed on VFN TV? What's happening prophetically? It'll come to you in your email if you sign up for The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on subscribe and sign up for The Torch today so we can keep you informed tomorrow. That's VFNTV.com.